Folks, well, good morning. So great to have our online friends with us as well. So glad that you could join us this morning. Welcome. It's great to have you with us. I know we have folks that are in different states, some in California, some all over the place that join us. If you live in the area, though, and you don't have a home church of your own, we would love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. Our gatherings start at 10 o'clock, and for more information, feel free to check out our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. But welcome. God bless you. It's so great to have you with us today. And it's so great to have you with us today as well, those that are here in person. As I shared earlier, as I was preparing for this morning, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want my people to experience me like they haven't before. Would you like to experience God in a way that you haven't before? I've been sharing that thought, that idea, with a couple other leaders this morning and have just been asking folks to kind of be open if the Lord brings a remembrance to mind of a time when you experienced God in a new way in the past and it really impacted you. I'm asking leaders to share that, and I think Pastor Steve has a couple of things to share, and then he's going to pray over the congregation. So Pastor Steve, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to bring you up right here at the beginning, and I really believe this is going to kind of set the tone for our time here today.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. Aren't you pleased that we have air conditioning? Whoop, whoop. Yes. So when Pastor Kurt asked me to pray about sharing this morning, two things came to mind. So I said to him, you know, two things, okay? You want me to just pick one? And he said, no, but that's fine. And I said, well, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for the congregation as I share these. Is that okay? Yep. Okay. So just to let you know, I got approval first before I stepped into the middle of his message to share with you today. So two things came to mind when I prayed and thought, well, Lord, what were some times that I've had new experiences with you? So I'm 67. I accepted Christ, was born again at 17. So I just realized, Frank, wow. 50 years. Yeah. So there's a lot of new experiences with God over the 50 years. So interestingly, one of them is almost the whole way back at the beginning. So if you can even picture me, Ryan and Andrew and Ashton, at your age, they're like, Pastor Steve was our age at one point? Yeah, I really was. I know. And so I accepted Christ at 17. I was a junior in high school. And I was attending a United Methodist church, but I was visiting a charismatic church. I didn't even know what a charismatic church was back then, but some of my friends were going. I was invited. And I started to hear about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized, saturated, completely filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I started praying about that. And I heard that sometimes speaking in tongues comes along with that. Well, that was new to me as well. So at some point, I remember saying, well, Lord, that seems like that's of you. They showed me in the scripture where it was. So I want that. And very interestingly, and most of you don't picture me as a singer, but I do like to sing and worship, but mostly just on my own. And I often used to do that out in the woods. I would just go for walks, and I'd be talking to the Lord and singing and praying. So one day, I was out in the woods doing that, walking along a little stream in somebody's property that I knew, and I went, oh, I'm not speaking English anymore. And I felt something happening inside, and I felt like I was filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And what I received then was what we term, because the scripture talks about using praying in tongues in a couple different ways, but what I received was being able to pray in tongues, meaning it's not something I announce to all of you and gets interpreted. It's just when I'm speaking to the Lord. And that's been invaluable for me because there's some times when I'm just praising and worshiping and it seems like English isn't enough. And so I do it, like this morning, quietly in my prayer language. And also there have been times when I've been frustrated, upset, not understanding what's happening in my life, and it's like, I can't even think about what to pray in English. And so you choose to just pray in your prayer language. So that was a new experience to me. I went back to this little church, and it's like, hey, that happened, and they were all excited because it was something that they had experienced. So we're going to pray about that this morning. If that is an experience you've never had of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that he is the one that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. So that means you just ask. And we're ask expecting. So I got to share with somebody this week, the scripture gives us the principle. It says, if you lack wisdom, just ask, but you ask expecting. So today, if you feel like you haven't been filled, drenched, saturated in the Holy Spirit, the picture is you're so wet that if you squeezed, you would just run out like a sponge. So if you aren't that saturated with the Holy Spirit, you can be today. Maybe it's the first time because we're talking about new experiences, but maybe it's just been a while since you've said, Lord, I was filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago and 15 years ago and 10 years ago and 5 years ago. But you know what? This morning's the time to be filled again. Yes. Yes. Because we go through situations that we draw on what's inside of us and we end up getting emptier and emptier. Okay? So if you want to pray that with me today, you can pray it out loud. You can pray it quietly because he hears either way, right? Come on. And so we're going to ask expecting because that's what the scripture tells us to do. All right. So Jesus, your word tells us that you are the one that comes and baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. That you fill us to the point that we're saturated and leaking. We're overflowing. And so Jesus, we just ask you today to come. And we're asking expecting. Yes, for you to come and fill us with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside already, but we're giving him permission to fill us, to go into every area of our souls and our minds and our will and our emotions. Holy Spirit, saturate us more and more. Yeah. More until we're just overflowing. Jesus, our hands are open, just like a dumping a bucket of water on us. Pour out the Holy Spirit this morning. And not only are we asking, expecting that it would continue throughout this service, but we're asking with grateful hearts. And we're saying, thank you, Jesus, that the same way the Holy Spirit was poured out on those disciples on the day of Pentecost, and they spoke with other tongues, with other languages, we're believing that to happen for us. And maybe we'll be praying this afternoon, or maybe we'll be singing, and we'll realize it's no longer in English. So we just give you permission to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and to release prayer language tongues to us today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. I'm hoping you feel drenched and encouraged and refreshed. And then the second time was not quite so far back. So for 10 years now, we have had a Bethel Sozo ministry here at Christian Life Community Church, and it's an inner healing and deliverance ministry. And when I first heard about it, somebody said, oh, that would be such a blessing to your church. Well, as a senior pastor, as your shepherd, I'm like, yeah, nothing's coming here that I haven't investigated. So I went to Delaware, and I had one. So we're talking 10, 11 years ago now. And I was sitting there with the group of men who were praying with me and for me. And I was talking to Father God, okay? Something as Christians we do, right? We talk to God. And as I was talking to him, they said, well, just picture him. And so I, yep, okay, I'm picturing God. And he's on a throne. He's way up there. And there is you know, stairs and stairs and stairs and stairs, and way up there is God, and he's really big. But I'm down here at the bottom, and I'm in his presence, and I'm worshiping him. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Here I am, and I'm worshiping God, and he's way up there. And so, yay, that's better than people who aren't there, right? You know, so that, yeah. So there I am. And they said, well, ask God if he wants to tell you anything or if he wants to do anything. And I'm like, okay, well, Father God, you want to tell me anything? Do you want to do anything? Oh, my goodness. See, and this is 11 years ago. And he stood up. As I was picturing him, I'm like, oh, why is God standing up? You know, it sort of scared me. And I feel like he was saying, well, you won't approach me because you're afraid of how big and powerful I am, but I'm going to stand up. And I'm thinking, oh, now what? And he started to come down the stairs. And I remember it's like, he loves me enough and wants a relationship with me enough and wants to be closer to me that even though I might be afraid of how big and powerful and awesome he is, he's going to approach me. That completely changed my Christian life and how I saw God. That changed how I prayed. That changed how I worship. And through the years, I've had a number of sozos. I've had a number of times with him in worship. And now he's right there. There isn't any distance. He's not up there anymore. So I feel like for some of you, he just wants to draw closer today. But he's waiting for you to invite him. So if you want to be closer to Father God today, if you want him to just stand up and walk down and approach you, maybe you're picturing him over there and he's just going to walk towards you. However you picture him when you're praying or talking to him, he just wants to come a little closer than he was when you came in this morning. Amen, Pastor Kurt? But he's waiting for you to invite him and give him permission to do that. Okay, so if that's you today, we're just going to pray again. You can pray out loud. You can pray sitting. You can pray standing. You can pray kneeling. You just get yourself in a spot where you can talk to God. So I'm just going to give you a minute. Quiet your hearts. And as you're praying, however it is you picture Father God, where you picture him at, what you picture him doing, we're just going to say, Father God, I know that you love me, and I know that you want to get closer to me. However close you are, you want to get even closer. So today, I give you permission, and I invite you right now to draw closer to me. To step closer to me, to let me see you, sense you, feel you, hear you closer to me than you've ever been before. You love me that much that you want to get closer. Just like the father that ran after the wayward son. And I'm not wayward maybe this morning, or maybe I am. But either way, you're looking and expecting and hoping for me to want to draw closer to you. And then when I'm inviting you and expecting you and welcoming you, you're running toward me. And just like you did with that son, Father, I ask you to do today for your sons and daughters, those here in the room and those listening, that you would just draw close to them. And even as you did that son, you would just wrap your arms around them and say, welcome home. I've been waiting. I've been looking. I've been listening for you. And this morning you called out to me and you said, draw close. And I drew close. And now I'm embracing you and speaking over you how much I love you today. And Father, our response is, I love you, Father. I love you. And I thank you. for your great love for me.
You know, a lot can happen when we're willing to be open to experiencing Him in a way that we haven't before. When we pray a prayer like that, I love what Pastor Steph shared earlier. The one young man whose life was taken way too early. When he was thinking about the mission of the orphanage and how they take in these orphans and care for them and look after them, and how he said, I never felt like an orphan. I always felt like a son. When we're willing to experience Father God as the loving Father that He is, we can go from a place of feeling like an orphan to feeling accepted, to feeling love, to feeling like His son. That's a game changer. We'll never live life the same if we're able to make that shift and step into what Father God wants for us so much, to understand that we're sons and daughters of the Most High. You know? That's His heart. He says, He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That verse goes on to say, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And sometimes that's the roadblock that we have, because we don't trust Him, if we're honest, because of something that happened in our past. Pain, hurt, we're believing a lie, fill in the blank, whatever it is, we lack that trust. And we won't even approach Him to taste and see that He is good, you know? And I just appreciate that's one of the things that we do, that we address in Sozo ministry, in this inner healing / deliverance ministry. We deal with those lies, and we renounce those lies, and we ask Father God, what's the truth about this situation? And a lot of people are able to experience God in a way that they haven't before. And I can tell you, they walk out those doors different people than when they came in. Not because of Pastor Steve is so awesome, although he is. Not because I'm so awesome. Not because of us. Because they experienced Him in a way that they haven't before. And that's His heart for us this morning. So let's press into that. Let's lean into that. And if you just sense, you know, there's something that is keeping me from getting there, I would encourage us to ask, God, what is that thing that just keeps me hesitant, keeps me kind of withheld from pressing into You? And just listen to Him, what He speaks to your heart, and deal with it. And if you feel like you still need some more help, please seek out Pastor Steve or Pastor Van, Pastor Steph, myself. We would love to come alongside you and help walk you through that thing, right? Because if someone can go from an orphan spirit to a spirit of sonship, never the same again, amen? Amen. You know, I was talking about Camp Pinnacle with a few people, and when you look at these pictures from 25 years ago, the memories start flooding back, you know? And I remember, it was either my first or second year there as a counselor, and I was asked to preach like on a Wednesday night. And I was going to preach on baptism of the Holy Spirit, what Pastor Steve was just sharing with us. And we got into praise and worship that evening, and I never was able to preach that night. And I was fine with it, because let me tell you, the presence of God came in such a powerful way. And we had some, you know, teenage boys, 15, 16 years old. And they were kind of rambunctious, and they were kind of rowdy, and just typical teenage boys. And they were kind of like that for a couple of days. Whenever the Holy Spirit came the way He did that night, there were teenage boys on the floor. There were teenage boys just weeping in the presence of God. And they experienced Him in a way that they hadn't previously. And it was so cool. The director of senior camp comes up to me in the midst of all this. I mean, it's just, if you look at it in the natural, it's like just pandemonium. Like, there's people everywhere, there's bodies on the floor, people laughing, people crying, people praying, just, you know, mayhem. And he comes up to me, he goes, "Dude, this is Pinnacle." That's the heart of Pinnacle. We want these young people to come and have an encounter with God. And if they have that, they might not remember what I preached about. They might not remember some of the Bible verses that they even memorized that week. But they will remember the experience that they had with God. And they'll walk out of that place different people. Amen? So let's taste and see that the Lord is good. Turning your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 28, if you would. And I'm going to be brief this morning. Thank you so much, Pastor Steve, for sharing that. That was very powerful. And I want to look at Jacob this morning. Again, we're talking about experiencing God in a way that we haven't before and the effects that that has on us. This is, I love what happens here at CLCC because I feel like we are very strong in preaching the word, right? And I feel that we are very strong in wanting to have an encounter with God as well and allowing His Spirit to move and allowing the gifts to flow. It's not either or. It is both and. We want to preach the word in a good way, and we want to make room for His Spirit to move. Amen? And so let's just allow the Lord to do what He wants this morning. And if it ends up being like that one night at chapel at Pinnacle, it'll be a blast, okay? Amen? So we're here in Genesis chapter 28, looking at verse 10. This is a very familiar passage. This is, you'll recall, Jacob has a twin brother, Esau, right? And he actually tricks his father, Isaac, into giving him the blessing. Now, it's supposed to go to Esau because he's the oldest. They were twins, but Esau was born first, and then Jacob was born. So the oldest, the father blesses him. But Jacob and his mother conspired so that Jacob would get the blessing in lieu of Esau, right? Remember that story? And so this is kind of on the heels of that. And, Jacob's mother didn't want Jacob to marry one of the women that was there in Canaan. So she's going to send him to her family's place and so that he can get a wife there. And so he's in the midst of that journey. He's leaving his parents' house, going to some of his mother's relatives to get a wife. And on the way there, this happens. Whoa, sorry. In verse 10, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." Jacob is in the midst of experiencing God in a way that he hadn't experienced Him before. Let's read on. Verse 13. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants.'" Now, this isn't the anchovy pizza that he had the night before talking to him. This is the creator of the universe speaking to him in the midst of this dream. And the creator of the universe says, "I will give you and your descendants this land." And he goes on to say in verse 14, "And also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Wow. Wow. The Lord spoke some pretty enormous things to him. He's making a big promise to Jacob, isn't he? But it's okay, because he's a big God, and he can keep the big promises that he makes, despite what things look like in the natural. Jacob is experiencing God in a way that he hasn't before. Now, Jacob, if my math is correct, you know, if you go back to his grandfather, Abraham, right? Abraham didn't have, Sarah didn't have Isaac until Abraham was about 100 years old, right? Is what Scripture tells us. And then we know that Isaac didn't get a wife, Rebekah, until he was about 40. So that makes Abraham about 140 at that point. And then Isaac and Rebekah have the twins when Isaac is 60. So Abraham's about 160. Scripture tells us that he lives to 175. So is it conceivable that young Jacob, in a conversation with his grandfather, Abraham, that Abraham shared with him the goodness of God in his life? That he might have told him some things about how God dealt with him, about how God made an incredible promise to him, and it didn't seem like there was any way possible it could happen but God. And then his father was born when Abraham was about 100 and when his grandmother, Sarah, was about 90 years old. I think there's a good chance he could have heard some things from Grandpa Abraham about God. And maybe he had similar conversations with his father, Isaac, and heard about the faithfulness of God in Isaac's life. You know? That, you know, Abraham sent a servant to get a wife. And, you know, that's a big deal. God was faithful in Isaac's life. I think probably Jacob, there's a good chance he could have heard some things from his own father about God. And we're like that as well. We've heard things about God along the way from others. But can I tell you, it's different when we experience God for ourselves. And this, so I feel, falls in line with what Pastor Van was preaching last week. We don't want to just know things about God, right? You know, Scripture says you believe in God. Even the demons believe in God, right? Even the demons know something about God, right? But we can experience God, and it can change us forever. Amen? And so the things that he has heard about God, I'm sure Jacob would say, pale in comparison to this encounter that he's having with God in this dream. Let's jump back into it. Verse 16, it says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" He was here all along, and I didn't even know it. I couldn't even see him. I couldn't sense him. "But surely the Lord is in this place." Verse 17, "And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" Do you think this dream, this encounter with God, had an impact on Jacob? Darn right it did. It got his attention. "Then Jacob," verse 18, "rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God.' Verse 22, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth or a tithe to you. Did this experience with God impact him? Yeah. What did he do? He set up the pillar. He wanted to memorialize this place where he had an experience with the God of the universe. He poured oil on it to consecrate it, to set it apart. This is a holy place. I had a holy encounter with a holy God, and it has changed me. He memorialized it. He poured oil over it to consecrate it. He changed the name of that place. It had been called Luz. He called it Bethel, which means house of God. This must be the house of God. The presence of God was here, and I didn't even know it. You know what this is? This is the house of God. Yeah. So he memorialized it. He consecrated it. He called it a different name, and then he made a vow to God. And he said, I'm going to give you a tenth of all that you bless me with. Did that experience that he had never experienced God that way before, did it have impact on Jacob? Dude, it changed his life. It changed the course of his life. He was never the same again. Who wants to have an experience that would cause you to want to memorialize it and consecrate it and give that place a new name and make a vow to God? Yeah, if we're open to experience him in a way that we haven't before, in a way that causes us to no longer see ourselves as an orphan, but as a son and daughter, that causes us to see ourselves no longer as somebody who's weak and I can't accomplish anything and everything's too difficult for me, everything's too big for me, go from that place to, I'm in relationship with the creator of the universe. His resources are unlimited. I'm his son, so I have access to unlimited resources. If we experience him, our mind can shift, right? And we can come into a place where our lives are never the same again. Amen? As we're willing to taste and see that he is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Those areas that we are not trusting him in, they need to be dealt with, right? Wouldn't it have been a shame if Jacob woke up from that dream, this incredible encounter he had with the Lord, and said, yeah, that was good, but this. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but this. We got to take those yeah, buts and chuck them. And not only chuck them, but replace it with some truth. Yeah? We need some kingdom yeah buts. This situation looks impossible. My friend has late stage cancer. Hospice has been called in. It looks like it's the end. Yeah, but I'm in relationship with the great physician who can heal my friend. Amen? And as we give ourselves to having an experience with him like we've never had before, that shift can happen, just like it did with Jacob. Amen? In closing, I just want to mention an encounter from the New Testament, and I know that I've shared this multiple times, but this Samaritan woman at the well, did she have an experience with Jesus like she never had before? And did it change her life radically? Yes. Here's this woman, right? She's coming to the well at a time that nobody else comes, right? Does she have a reputation? Was she that woman? And that's why she came at that time of the day. Good chance that's the case. And lo and behold, who's there waiting for her? Yeah, the Master. And that woman has an experience with Jesus. she is never the same again. And suddenly, this woman who's been divorced 5 times and the man she's with now, she's living with and isn't married to, all of a sudden, she's this radical evangelist for Jesus. And she goes and tells the whole town. And they come out and they have revival where Jesus is. Because of this one woman. Because she was open to having an experience with the Lord that she had never had before. Now here's another thing that we have to keep an eye on. I've been sharing a lot about how God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Listen, if we have a prideful and haughty attitude, we're never going to experience what Jacob and the Samaritan woman at the well experienced. Because we're going to think, well, why do I need that? Yeah, I'm doing pretty good myself. I like being in the king's position and everybody else under, which is what pride is, right? And I've shared the example how I don't like liver and I resist liver. When we have that haughty, prideful spirit, we're like that liver. God resists, he abhors that prideful spirit. Amen? But he gives grace to the humble. If we're willing to put the Lord in the king's position and we come under him, we open ourselves up to his abundant grace, which is sufficient. We open ourselves up to have an experience with him like we've never had before, where we want to memorialize it and consecrate it and change the name of that place and make a vow to God. It's as we walk in humility. Amen? Amen. So what I want to do, we're going to say goodbye to our online friends here in just a moment. And I just want to wrap up with just kind of a free, open time of worship. And we just want to allow God. I mean, I've been talking about having this experience with God that we've never had before. It would be a shame if we closed in prayer, walk out the door, and never gave the Lord an opportunity to do that, right? And so we're going to take the opportunity right now and allow God to come and minister to us. Well, like that evening at chapel, down at Summit Lake all those years ago, we were in worship when the presence of the Lord came and just overwhelmed each one of us. And so, I want to do that in just a second, but I just want to kind of begin with just some a cappella worship, just from our hearts. That we just sing our love to him. We just express our love to him. We just say, God, you are so good. You know, I've had these couple lines just kind of rolling around in my head, how he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of all. He reigns from his throne, and he's in my heart. Like he's on a throne. You know, as we worship, we actually build a throne for him, and he comes, and he sits in that throne. We enthrone him with our worship, but it's not like what Pastor Steve was sharing earlier, where he's all the way up there, and I'm all the way down here, and there's such a gap between us. It's that my worship enthrones him, and he lives in my heart. He's on his throne in my heart as I worship him. You know? And I've just been singing that little couple lines just the past few days, just how he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of all. He reigns on his throne, and he's in my heart. Thank you, Lord. So let's just begin to worship him. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, we worship you. We adore you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. Yes, and you are the King of Kings. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of all. You reign on your throne, and you're in my heart. And you're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of all. You reign on your throne, and you're in my heart. You want to try that with me? You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of all. You reign on your throne, and you're in my heart. One more time. You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of all. You reign on your throne, and you're in my heart. You're so good, Lord. You're so good, Lord. Father, we say yes to an experience with you like we've never had before. We say yes to you pouring out, baptizing us with fire, baptizing us in tongues, baptizing us in your love, baptizing us in your goodness. We're open to you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and move in our hearts. Move in our lives. Move in our hearts, Lord. You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of all. You reign on your throne, and you're in my heart. Hallelujah. Yes, there's none like you, Lord. Yes, you're the King of kings. You're the Lord of all. You reign on your throne, and you're in my heart. Stacy, if you want to play that, we can go into that. Hallelujah. Just get where you need to get to meet with the Lord. If you want to stand, if you want to walk around, if you want to come up to the altar. We want to have an experience with Him like we've never had.
Sing what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. Things you've done before in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise. Cities.